The word hero sometimes gets thrown around more than it should. It's one of those words I think people use. They don't always necessarily know what they're saying when they throw that word around. When you think of a hero, you think of police officers, firefighters, doctors, nurses. Could be your next door neighbor. Anybody who goes above and beyond to save the life of another person, that is a hero. That is one of the ways that you define what a hero is. Shad Gaspar died this week at the age of 39. His death was confirmed earlier today. I mean, people kind of knew how this story was probably going to end, but people were hoping against hope that maybe there would be a miracle. Maybe by some miracle there would be some kind of development in the story, but I think most people knew how this was going to end up. One half of Crime Time, probably what he's most well known for. Certainly to wrestling fans, that's what he's most well known for. But he was also a writer. He was also an actor, a husband, and a father. You know, Venice Beach had just been reopened, I think, this past weekend. That might have been why he was there. A lot of beaches across the country still are not open. Possibly even some beaches in California. You know, but it just so happened that Venice Beach was reopened, and he was there with his wife. He was there with his 10-year-old son. They went out into the water, and they got caught up in a very strong rip current, which, if you've ever heard anything or read anything about those rip currents and just the ocean in general, you know, those you don't want to be caught up in something like that. You certainly don't want to be in that position. It's a very scary thing. So they got caught up in this rip current, pulled them 200 feet offshore. Apparently, lifeguards had to rescue a whole bunch of different people because they were out too far. They needed help. They couldn't find their way back in. And when they got to Shad, they found him. It's not hard to find. I mean, the guy's 6'6", 250 pounds, 260 pounds. And they found him. And instead of helping himself, he wanted them to help his son. He directed lifeguards over to his son, told them that he wanted them to help him first. And so they went to go help his son, but before they could come back to rescue him, another wave crashed in and pulled him under. Police say he was submerged, and he was pulled out to sea. And they had search teams out there for hours. They had search teams out there on Sunday into Monday. Even after they suspended the search, there was still one boat out there looking for him, trying to just search around, see if they could find anything. And they didn't find anything until this morning. He wasn't seen again until he washed up on shore very early this morning. So he gave his life to save his son. You would hope that any father, you would hope that any parent in the same situation, and God forbid any of you ever find yourselves in that situation, you would like to think that a lot of parents and a lot of fathers in that situation would do the same thing, but not everybody would. He gave his life to save his sons. That's a hero. And I can't imagine, I mean, if I'm that kid and you know his son's 10 years old, I can't imagine what he must be going through right now. You know, to lose your father that young and to lose your father under those circumstances, I mean, you talk about a nightmare scenario. It's awful. It's just an absolute tragedy. And this is not the first time that Shad Gaspar has been hailed as a hero. Oh no. This is not the first time that he has been in a situation like this before. If you remember 4 years ago, he just happened to be in a gas station. Guy comes walking in. I remember watching the video. Video was on TMZ and all these websites at the time. He's minding his own business. This guy walks in, walks right up to him. He's got a gun in his waistband. Shad has to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to give in to what this guy wants? Am I going to bum rush him? What am I going to do? And he managed to wrestle the gun away from him. I don't think the gun was loaded, if I recall. But he didn't know that. And he wrestled the gun out of the guy's hand, took him outside, slammed him down to the ground, put his knee in his back, held him down until the cops could come. And at the time, you know, he talked to TMZ. And he said his main concern wasn't so much himself. His main concern was not his own safety. His main concern was making sure that nobody else got hurt. He wanted to mitigate the situation and make sure, because he didn't know what this guy was capable of. He didn't know if the gun was loaded, if he had another weapon on him. And his only concern was to make sure that nobody else got hurt. That's a hero. Not the first time that he's been in that situation. So it's a heartbreaking thing for his family. You know, my heart breaks for his family, his friends, for his tag team partner. JTG. You know, JTG has known him for almost 20 years. Going back to when they first teamed up together in OVW, 2004. It was the first time they got put together. Didn't know each other. Didn't know that they would be together as tag team partners for many more years to come. Didn't know that they would become brothers in arms. Almost 20 years ago. JTG has even said that Shad, in many ways for him, was like a big brother. A mischievous big brother, but he was like a big brother. And on Twitter, he shared a text. It was a text message or a DM or something back in January. The end of January. In the message, Shad said to him, you know, if I die tomorrow, just know that I love you as a brother. You know, basically well into the next life. You and I will always be brothers, we'll always be friends no matter what. It's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking stuff. And now I've had JTG on the podcast a couple of times before, and I've had the good fortune of listening to him tell some Shad stories, some Crime Time stories, stories going back to their time in WWE. And one of my all-time favorite stories, which, you know, the second book that JTG did, he did two books. The second one, he said Shad pushed him to do it. He was kind of on the fence about doing it. It was about how to get heat backstage in WWE. There's a lot of ways to get heat backstage if you work for WWE. And Shad told him, go ahead, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to write the book. It was funny, and a lot of the stories had to do with Shad getting the two of them heat in WWE. And Shad was the one who told them, you got to do it. You got to write the story. You got to get the book out there. And one of the stories that he shared, which is one of my favorites, is of a meeting that they had at WWE headquarters. This was after they were already signed and everything. But they had a meeting. Shad had not clued JTG in as to the nature of said meeting. He just said, oh, we have a presentation we have to make. We have a meeting. And JTG thought, oh boy, he's not cluing me in about what this is about. This can't be good. This can't be good. So he had no idea. And he was pitching the company on a movie idea that he had. So imagine this boardroom. I don't know if Vince McMahon was there, but imagine this boardroom, all these executives, all these suits. And there's Shad. JTG is just alarmed, just praying and hoping that he doesn't say something to get them fired. I don't know that it would be appropriate to share the details of the story right now. I'll let you read it for yourself in his book. But I told JTG when I had him on the show, I said, I laughed out loud. So one story in the book, I laughed out loud. I laughed out loud when I read it. And I was every bit as mortified reading it as I'm sure JTG was living it and experiencing it and being in that situation. But that was Shad. You know, he was a character. I can't imagine what he's going through right now. I can't imagine what the family is going through right now. My condolences to JTG. My condolences to Shad's family, his son. A lot of wrestlers commented on it. A lot of people knew him, interacted with him. Not a bad story to go around. But the key thing here, the man loved his son. And if you just go on his Instagram page, you go on his social media, and within 2 seconds, it becomes clear. It becomes obvious what he thought about being a father, how it changed him, how important it was, more than being an actor and more than being a wrestler and all this other stuff that he did. You know, being a father, it changed him. It changed how he conducted himself. It changed how he looked at his life, what's important in life. A lot of photos, a lot of videos with his son. There was one that he posted actually just back in March. So not even a full 2 months ago. Of them on the beach. Shad is on the beach. He's filming. His son is in the water. His son comes in. And the caption read, "Enjoy today because tomorrow is not promised." And he also said of his son, "I can't promise to be here for the rest of your life, but I can promise to love you for the rest of mine." And he kept his promise. Rest in peace, Shad Gaspard. Thank you for joining me, guys. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. Thank you for helping me break 57,000 subscribers on YouTube. I very much appreciate that. So Dynamite kicked off with Jon Moxley taking on 10 of the Dark Order. 10 is the former, Preston Vance. Is that his name? I think Preston Vance they talk about him being a former football player who got hurt. It's all storyline. I think he played baseball or softball or something in real life. But anyway, so he has been indoctrinated. He is now a member of the Dark Order. Brody Lee tells him to take a knee. He cuts a promo. And so this is going to be Jon Moxley's warm-up heading into the pay-per-view this weekend, where he is defending the championship against Brody Lee. Brody Lee is in possession of the AEW World Championship belt. Jon Moxley wants it back. I guess possession is 9/10, but it don't make you the champion. 10 got some offense in. Moxley hit the paradigm shift, hit a Gotch-style pile driver, hit another paradigm shift, got the win. Yeah, it's a tune-up match. It's a warm-up match. It's exactly what it needed to be heading into the pay-per-view. After the match, he put 10's arm in a chair, threatened to Pillmanize his arm. He was going to break the arm. Brody Lee, "You better come on out here. You got 10 seconds. If you don't come out here in 10 seconds, I'm going to break your arm." There's Brody Lee on the screen. He don't give a shit. I'm leaving. He's sacrificing his own man. I'm leaving. Jon Moxley says, fine. Stomps on the chair. Breaks his arm. This is not quite the old Pentagon arm break from Lucha Underground, but that's what they said. They broke his arm. I'm not feeling this main event for this weekend. This is the main event. I think I said this last week. Moxley and Brody Lee is the main event on this show. I'm not feeling it. I'm looking forward to the Stadium Stampede. I'm looking forward to Cody and Lance Archer. There are some matches on this show, even the ladder match. You know, I'm kind of looking forward to the insanity of that. If Phoenix isn't hurt, we'll talk about him in a second. But this main event, just in that position, as the main event, as the world title match, let's say the match that goes on last, I don't know. I can't bring myself to really look at this as a real main event of a pay-per-view. Just doesn't feel like it. You know what it feels to me? It feels like they have rushed Brody Lee into this situation. They were shorthanded. They probably had to reconfigure whatever their plans were because of, you know, the whole situation and everything. Because they were building him up. You know, he came in and they were doing all these vignettes with him. So they were slowly building him up. And then it's just like, boom, you know, they kind of just slotted him into the world title match. Now, maybe rankings wise, I don't have the rankings in front of me. Somebody in the chat can tell me maybe he's, you know, ranked number two. And by the letter of the law and the rankings, he deserves to get the match. But it just doesn't feel like a pay-per-view main event. It just feels like this was a bit of a rush job to me. But for his sake, I hope he goes out there and he tears the house down. I'm hoping that Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper go out there on Saturday night and they have the best match of their career, because this is a big spot. This is a big spot for Brody Lee to be in. This is the match he's always wanted. Right? He wanted to be given the ball to run with. He wanted to be in a position where he can headline a pay-per-view and challenge for a world championship. Well, guess what? Here we go. You've got your shot. You've got your opportunity. So I hope he delivers and I hope he knocks it out of the park. But going into this thing, I just can't say that I look at this as being, as big as the Stadium Stampede. Stadium Stampede to me feels like the real main event of the show or the TNT title match. So now we're kind of in the situation where Cody can't challenge for the world title. But are they going to position him kind of above the world champion? Is it like a Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart situation from the fall of 97 where Bret was wrestling the Patriot on the undercard and Shawn was in main events against the Undertaker? Is that kind of what we're looking at here? I don't know. Let me play catch up in the super chats here just before we move on. I do appreciate everybody who supports. I want everybody to know that. You guys are awesome. Lone Wolf, thank you. A lot of nice messages for Shad. A lot of love for Shad Gaspard in the chat. Magician Sapphire, Sky Genie Channel, Sean Waters, Evan Schaff. Defined Real, thank you. Bad News Burke, Balls of Steel Chicken, Jacob Donnelly with the $10. Wants to know if Double or Nothing, do we see the debuting FTR? FTR, of course, is, I guess it's not Fear the Revolt, is it? Fear the Revolt, they can't go by that name. They're being, they got a cease and desist, I think, from one of the independent tag teams. Or maybe it was, God, who was it? I forgot who it was. But anyway, there's a team that has used that name on the independent scene for about 5 years who actually know Dash and Dawson, and they're friendly with them, and they're very upset. They're very upset that they would go and use that name. Now, Dash and Dawson, I think, are claiming that that wasn't the name they were going to use, in the ring when they compete. If you watch Being the Elite, they don't say Fear the Revolt. It just says FTR. So they might just call them FTR. It might not mean anything. It might not stand for anything. Like in WWE, EC3 didn't stand for Ethan Carter III. He was just EC3. So maybe it's that. But yeah, I think there's a chance, absolutely, that we could see them this weekend. We might even see them in the Stadium Stampede. If they get involved, they may cost the Elite the match and hand a win to the Inner Circle. I think there's a chance, absolutely. And look, we've got one open spot in the casino ladder match. That ladder match has 9 spots. 8 of them have been filled. So who's going to take over spot number 9? Is it going to be somebody we've never heard of before? Is it going to be a WWE star that was recently released? They have a whole batch of them they could choose from that got cut last month. Zack Ryder, Curt Hawkins, Rusev, Leo Rush. I mean, take your pick. EC3. Got a lot of talent. Are we going to see another WWE cast-off end up in AEW? And if so, who is it going to be? MJF, speaking of EC3, MJF. MJF against Marco Stunt. This is where Jim Ross paid tribute to Shad. Had some very nice comments about him on commentary. So I thought that was nice of him. Tony Schiavone referred to MJF as a jerk-ass on commentary. That's what he called him. Called him a jerk-ass. Even Jim Ross chuckled. I'm not sure where he pulled that from. Called him. And I'm listening to this, and I'm just thinking to myself, it reminds me of Brell in No Holds Barred. Remember the movie No Holds Barred? Of course you do. It reminds me of Brell calling Rip a jockass. I never forgot that, ever since I was a kid. Even back then, it was like, what do you call him? A jock what? Called him a jockass. I would like to start the movement to kind of revive that as an insult. If you guys are in agreement with me, I say we start this whole new movement to bring back the insult jockass. I don't think that gets used enough. So anyway, I'd like to start that here. I'd like to see all the jockasses in the chat. Let's get this going. We got to bring that back. So MJF in this match, he was toying with Marco. He was having fun. And he grabs Marco's hand at one point. I feel like the berserker now, right? He grabbed his hand at one point, started smacking Marco with his own hand. And the reason I laughed is when I was a kid, my father would do the same thing. When I was a kid, my father would annoy me by taking my hand and smacking me in the head with it, or the face. He got great amusement out of this. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself, huh? He'd be smacking me. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? It would drive me nuts. He loved it. He was very entertained. Me, not so much. So I'm watching MJF do this to Marco Stunt, and I'm having horrible flashbacks to my childhood. So Marco gets a little bit of offense in. And, of course, you know, he's no match for MJF. MJF, salt of the earth. Armbar, he wins. MJF grabs a mic, tells Marco, hey, you know what? You did better than I thought you would, kid. You did better. You did good. You had a good showing tonight. So I'll tell you what. Said I figured I would let one of my ring rats here in Jacksonville. I didn't say ring rats. I said rats. One of his rats here in Jacksonville. Give Marco a little kiss. But he said nobody would want to touch that face. So I'll do you one better. And Wardlow had Marco and he, you know, got him down. He goes, instead you can kiss the ring. And he waffled him with a punch with the Dynamite Diamond ring on it. So this was to build up to MJF against Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy did come out. MJF bailed. And so that will be the match this weekend. Before I get to maybe my favorite segment on the show, Jacob, thank you. Jesse Cam, thank you, sir, for the $10 drop. I appreciate that. 561 Mexico, thank you very much. Said the time where the guy was trying to rob the gas station, it happened 2016 in Coral Gables, Florida, after an FEW wrestling show, and I saw him and JTG after the show at that gas station. Wow. That's very cool. You know, I mentioned I had JTG on the show twice. I hadn't met him until a few years ago. I was in, might have been Orlando. I want to say it was in Orlando for WrestleMania weekend. Then I was at the Kevin Nash party. I'd been invited to go. Kevin Nash has this shenanigans party every year. So I went to the party and there was JTG and I think Shad was with him. So I met, that whole night was a blur. So I don't remember who I met, who I didn't meet, but I know I met JTG. Shad may have been there. And JTG was telling me about this new app, I think called Earsay or something that was just getting off the ground. Really nice guy. You know, him and Shad both, just down to earth. You know, Shad is from Brooklyn, right here in Brooklyn. I don't know what part of Brooklyn, but, you know, young guys, just, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's an absolutely awful story. Slay Fox, thank you, sir. Tamara Davis. I salute Tamara. She's in the chat right now. She's one of the wrenches. So show Tamara some love. Jake the Snake Roberts and the Enforcer Arn Anderson. They were out next for a face-to-face in the middle of the ring. Had a long table. Arn's on one side, Jake's on the other. Tony Schiavone is moderating in the middle. And they're going to hype the TNT title match at Double or Nothing between Cody and Lance Archer. So they've sent out the managers. They've sent out two of the greatest promo men in wrestling history, right? Jake the Snake, I mean, he's at the top of the list. If Jake isn't number one, he's in the top three, top five. And Arn's no slouch himself. Tony Schiavone has stood there for a few Arn Anderson promos in his day. Going back to the NWA days. Tony had a bitchin' mustache back then, by the way. How many of you remember Tony Schiavone's mustache? Back in the old NWA days? The porn stash? Tony the ladies' man. No wonder Britt Baker loves him so much. So Jake pointed out, which I hadn't realized, that in all these years, he and Arn have never wrestled. They've never been in the same ring together. Or at least they've never had a singles match. You know, Arn was a tag team wrestler for a long time. Jake, I don't really wasn't, so that kind of makes sense. But yeah, you think about how long they've been in the wrestling business for. Yeah, it's kind of surprising. you know, that their paths have never crossed before. And I was a little worried at that point where this might be going. I was like, why is he bringing this up? Where, what is this leading to? And Jake said, Lance Archer, he's a mean son of a bitch. He's going to rip Cody's heart right out of his chest. And he says, is this your weekend pass from the home? We haven't seen you in a couple of months, Arn. How you doing? You doing okay? They let you out? Now, this was very weird. So he's basically insulting Arn. He's saying, you know, how old he is and everything. Then he goes, you're looking thick. Now, Arn, you know, look, Arn is a little bit bigger than he used to be. But is it wrong that my first thought was that he wasn't saying you're thick, T-H-I-C-K? I thought he was saying that he was T-H-I-C-C. And I got completely freaked out. So please tell me I'm wrong. Please tell me I completely misinterpreted this. Or did Jake the Snake call Arn Anderson thick in a very different way? Because they have two very different meanings. This could have been a very different show. That's all I'm going to think about now. Jake the Snake called Arn Anderson thick. I don't know how I feel about this. So Arn says that he heard through the grapevine. There's a visual for you, by the way. So Arn says that he heard through the grapevine that Mike Tyson is going to have free reign on Saturday. He could be walking around. He could be in the front row. He could be up sitting in the, you know, in the cheap seats somewhere. Just like he was back at the Royal Rumble in 98 when he watched Cold Stone Steve Austin win the Royal Rumble match. Right? He was way up there. Mike was in a skybox with Shane McMahon. You'd think they would spring for front row seats so he can see Cold Stone, his favorite wrestler. Or his favorite ice cream. I don't know. Maybe he got confused. So Arn called himself a vicious prick. Said that I would jump across this table right now, but I heard something. Jake, I heard that you do DDP yoga. Said, that's good. I want you to be limber for Saturday when I give you a spine buster. And Jake flipped the table over. He was ready to throw down. Referees came out to break him up. Old man fight. I thought we were going to get ourselves an old man fight. But the referees came down, they spoiled all of our fun. Anytime you can get these two in the ring together for a segment, it can't be anything but at least good. But, you know, this segment perfectly illustrated to me how effective strong managers can be in getting over a match, getting over the importance of a match, getting over a particular story. That's the importance of a manager. Now, you know, some managers like Bobby Heenan back in the day also were there to take bumps, which is why he had a bad neck. That's actually not the reason why he had a bad neck. His neck got hurt in a match. But managers play a very important role. And it's why for so many years, you know, when we used to read the stories about Vince McMahon, he doesn't think managers are important anymore. And they phased them down for a very long time in WWE. And unfortunately, sometimes, as WWE goes, so goes the wrestling business, right? So if WWE is not focusing on managers, it felt like there just was no more focus on managers. And all of a sudden, if they start focusing on managers again, well, then managers were back in vogue. And thankfully, that seems to be changing a little bit, where they're not the end-all, be-all anymore. And now they have, you know, like Zelina Vega, you know, but in AEW, I have to say, you know, with Arn and Jake, just those two alone. Now, Brandy's not a manager full-time. Sometimes she is, but it's an important role that should not be diminished. I'm not that old. Is it really that old school of a point of view? Managers can be very, very, very important tools. And these two guys just so happen to be two of the best talkers that there ever were. So, when they're used the right way, managers are awesome. Although, these two men, the other thing is the experience factor, right? Because Arn Anderson's been in the wrestling business forever. Jake Roberts has been in the wrestling business forever. His father was in the wrestling business. So it's in his blood. It's in his family for a very long time. These two guys, Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson, have a combined 83 years of experience in the wrestling business. 83 years. Eric Bischoff has a podcast called 83 Weeks. 83 years is the combined experience of these two men. And the average length of an episode of Monday Night Raw these days. 83 years. That's a long time. It's a lot of experience. Let's see what's going on here. Balls of Steel Chicken. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Balls of Steel Chicken. Love that name. Andrew, thank you for the super chat. And Food Hive and my man, Bryant Becerra. Bryant Becerra, the Florida Freebird. Thank you, Bryant. Thank you, brother. We had Orange Cassidy, a guy I know very well, against Rey Fénix. And actually, one of the things I want to do, and I don't know if there's been any kind of update. I may have to check on this after. When I'm done with the review, maybe I'll just do a quick check just to make sure. I want to make sure because I'm sure you all saw the same thing in that match tonight with Fénix when he took that bump when the match was over. And yeah, I don't see anything right now, but he took a wicked spill outside the ring. So let's talk about the match first. Fénix tried to kick Cassidy's head off his shoulders again when they came out. Cassidy avoided it. He dodged it, got in the ring. They had a competitive match. Cassidy came off the top rope at one point. I thought this was really cool. Came off the top rope. Fénix is standing there. And as Cassidy is coming off the top, he grabs Rey Fénix and drives him down for a DDT. In midair, just grabbed the head and boom, spiked him right on his head. Got a near fall out of it. I thought that was cool. Kip Sabian, who's not cool, he came out with a ladder, set the ladder up in the middle of the aisle, climbed to the top of the ladder. He wanted to get a front row seat for the last few minutes of this match, final moments of this match. I think Fénix hit a low blow on Cassidy. Roll through, cutter, 1-2-3. We had Sabian flipping both of them off. Now he's flipping him the bird from the top of the ladder. You knew somebody was coming out. Here comes SCU. And they shove the ladder over. Sabian takes a bump. Big brawl erupts. Out comes Jimmy Havoc, who of course has been friends and allies with Kip Sabian. They brawl outside the ring. And this is where the big spot happened. As they're all brawling on the outside, Rey Fénix, he gets on the apron. He does... Was he on the apron? I don't know if he was on the apron or not, but... actually, now that I think about it, I don't think he was. I think he was in the ring, did a springboard up onto the ropes, turned around, did this... just dive through the air where he kind of died in midair. I think what happened here is because nobody caught him on the way down. And he fell and he smacked the floor. He landed right on his back. I thought, you know, the guy could have broken his ribs. I mean, it looked brutal. He splatted on the floor. And I think what may have happened is it was almost as if they were all positioned expecting him to come out a little bit more. They thought that he was going to go farther and he didn't. And then he went up and he just went straight down. And he just splatted on the floor. And the referee went over to check on him and I don't know. You know, either he was just selling really well or, you know, he may have just gotten the wind knocked out of himself. That doesn't mean he broke anything or, you know, got concussed or anything like that. I hope not. Although maybe for his health, I don't know, putting him in this ladder match on Saturday, if he didn't get hurt tonight, I'd be shocked if he avoided injury on Saturday because this guy is out of his mind. But I hope he didn't get hurt. So I am a little concerned about that. Colt Cabana, he showed up out of nowhere. He got on the ropes, an acai moonsault, knocked everybody down outside. So this was just mass carnage and chaos. And that's what the ladder match on Saturday is going to be. It's going to be exactly what you saw tonight. Nonstop action, high spots that are going to make you just, you know, look away because you don't want these guys to kill themselves. A little bit of comedy mixed in there because you've got Orange Cassidy and Colt Cabana. If you got Orange Cassidy and Colt Cabana in the same match, you're going to have some comedy. It's unavoidable. I don't think that you can't have those two in a match and not have comedy. So if you're into all that, then that could steal the show. If you're not into it, I could see that match upsetting a few people, potentially. Chris Young, thank you for the 20. You are awesome. And Food Hive, thank you for the 20. It says, growing up black, I was excited to see Crime Time debut because they look like me, and they represent my culture, even now with their fitness journey, this sucks. Batista's message made me cry. I didn't see Batista's message. Was it a video message or a tweet? If it's a video, I can't watch it right now. Or at least I wouldn't be able to listen to it. I did not see that. I did not see Batista's message, so I will have to check that out after. Chris Statlander teamed up with Hikaru Shida against Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Nyla Rose ahead of their four-way match. Actually, not a four-way. Had a four-way previously. It's Shida and Nyla for the championship on Saturday. No DQ. No countout. That's the match. But here it was the babyfaces and the heels. Speaking of injuries, there was a spot here in this match, and I believe this is just a storyline thing, but again, who knows? But there was a spot here that was a little scary with the babyfaces. They had Nyla up on their shoulders, almost like they're giving her like a double attitude adjustment. Britt Baker is down in the corner, and they drop Nyla on top of Britt, but it was right on Britt's leg, right on her knee. And she wasn't the same after that. She tagged out shortly thereafter. The doctor's out there on the apron checking her out. So, you know, not checking her out in that way. Checking out her physical state to make sure she wasn't hurt. So I don't think she is, but I know there was some speculation of maybe she got hurt here. We had Nyla Rose, though. Nyla Rose pulled out the win here in this match. Chris Statlander was unable to make the save. Shida got pinned with the Beast Bomb, which was kind of strange. I'll get to that in a second. After the match, Nyla went out, grabbed a table, brought it inside. There was a back and forth, and Statlander tried to stop her. In the end, Hikaru Shida put Nyla Rose through a table, suplexed her through a table. And I'm watching that, and I'm just thinking to myself, if you were going to do that, why not just have Hikaru Shida win the match for her team? Especially because I don't think she's winning the championship this weekend. Why not just have Shida win the match? Why have her lose and get pinned and then do the suplex spot through the table when the match was over? Just have her win. It's not complicated. You don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel here. So I just thought that was unnecessary. I thought that was very strange. We had a segment with Sean Spears. He was doing something that reminded me of the old... remember the RNN segments when Randy Orton was Buddy Young Buck and he was injured, and so they had him on TV doing these injury updates? Was it RNN News? It's kind of like a spoof on CNN. Well, here we got Sean Spears News. We had SSN, Social Security Number. And he's talking about Dustin Rhodes, and he's saying, oh, I agree, you know, Dustin Rhodes should retire, and he's old, and he made a crack in here about how easy it was a few years ago for him to swallow pills. Like, where the fuck did that come from? This guy goes from not having a match on the pay-per-view to cutting promos on Dustin Rhodes talking about his pill addiction, his drug addiction from years ago. It feels like they're trying a little too hard to drum up some sort of hatred here to get this thing going, just to get a match out of it on Saturday. I can't say that it excites me. I guess it's another match to pad the card, but to me, this is just filler. You know, on a pay-per-view, you want to pay off the big matches. You want to pay off the big feuds. Yeah, I hate this one. Even when WWE does it, they just throw matches on there for no good reason at the last minute that you can't possibly care about. I don't care about that match. We had Matt Hardy against Sammy Guevara in the main event. This after Matt Hardy, of course, tried to kill Sammy Guevara. One of the highlights of 2020 so far. One of the few positive things, one of the few cool things I've seen this year was that bump that Sammy took, the way he sold that bump on the golf cart a few weeks ago. So they had a match. You know, it was the main event. It didn't really... I thought there was something coming after it. I didn't realize that that was going to be the main event. They may have said that earlier in the show. I didn't pick up on it. So I realized when we got to like 9:46, 9:48, I said, oh, all right, well, I guess this is the main event. So at one point, he pulled off Sammy's boot. He starts biting his feet. He's biting his toes. Apparently, you know, he hangs out with Snitsky, I guess. I don't know. Hits the Twist of Fate. Sammy, I said it before, I'll say it again. Sammy has one of the best sells for the Twist of Fate that I've ever seen. This guy, he's going to kill himself one day. But he oversells it. And he gets spiked. He flips over. Jim Ross said, if that isn't the finish of the match, I'm going to call somebody. And then he kicked out. And Jim Ross said, where's my phone? I'm going to call somebody. Where's my phone? So Sammy gets the advantage back. He's got no boot. Goes up top. Goes to hit the shooting star. Two count only. Matt ends up hitting another twist of fate. Finally, he picks up the win. So Matt Hardy gets the win. Then up on the Tron, we see the Inner Circle. And they're out in TIAA Field, which is going to be where the Stadium Stampede is being held on Saturday. And they have Kenny Omega. I don't know if he was, I guess he wasn't tied, but they basically, it was almost like they had him tied to the goalpost. They had him tied to the goalpost in the end zone. And I think, who's the big guy with the blonde hair? Swagger. This tells you what I think. Oh, Hager. There you go. All right. Tells you what I think about him. Put him on the same level as Baron Corbin. So Jake Hager, he threw water on Omega. I didn't know at first what, I thought maybe he was dousing him. They were going to set Kenny Omega on fire. I said, boy, this is taking this thing to the next level now. But then nothing happened. The Young Bucks showed up. We haven't seen them in weeks. They've been quarantined out there in Rancho Cucamonga, having matches with each other. And filming Being the Elite. So they're back. They came leaping off of one of the barriers. Big brawl breaks out. Matt made it in record time over from the Daly's place to the field. So he joins in. And all of a sudden, off in the distance, sprinting in. They said it was like he was running the 100-yard dash in cowboy boots and jeans is Hangman Page. We also haven't seen Hangman Page because he's been under quarantine. He's been drinking. So he comes sprinting in from the other end of the field, coming to the aid of the Elite. They're all together now. They're fighting and fighting off the Inner Circle. And he ended up bailing. So when the show went off the air, we saw the Elite, but Hangman kind of went off on his own. So they're still playing up that story. You know, is he really back with his friends? Is he really back with the Elite? Is he going to kind of do his own thing? So that story is still hanging there. And that's how they went off the air. So I thought this was good for the key matches. I thought the build was good. I liked the stuff with Jake and with Arn Anderson to hype up. We didn't see Cody. We didn't see Lance Archer. They didn't have a match or anything like that. I thought that was smart. You know, you keep them out of the ring, keep them off the show. Let the managers do the talking. That's what they're there for. The managers are there to help promote and to help build the match and build interest in the match. I thought maybe they went a little too far in building more interest in their own match than maybe the people that they were representing, right? They probably went a little too far in that direction. We don't need to be seeing Arn Anderson wrestling Jake the Snake. I don't think we are going to see Arn Anderson wrestle Jake the Snake. I think somebody's taking a bump. We may see a spine buster. But I think they probably, if I had one criticism, they spent a little too much time pushing things in the direction of, you know, less so Cody and Archer and more so you and I have never had a match before, you know, and I'm going to spine buster you. And they had to pull apart. It's like, all right, I get it. You're building to some kind of a big spot this weekend, maybe with Mike Tyson. But we don't need to be seeing Arn Anderson against Jake the Snake Roberts. 83 years of experience between these two. I like them on the mic. I don't need to see too much physicality. A DDT maybe, a spine buster. Arn spine buster is still a thing of beauty. I think the last time I saw him do one was, didn't he do one in AEW? He might have done one already in AEW. I don't remember. It wasn't that long ago I saw him doing a spine buster. So here's the card as it currently stands. What's going on, chat? As I see the messages whiz by my face, I'll catch up with you guys in a second. Here is the card as it stands for Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing is coming up on Saturday. It is on pay-per-view. It is on BR Live. It is $49.95. So if you are going to order the pay-per-view, be aware of that. It is $50. I still ask the question. You know, this is going to be the first empty arena AEW pay-per-view. WWE can get away with this because the network is $10. Or for some people, the network is free. But are you going to spend $49.95 to watch Double or Nothing? I will. Do you feel that the way that AEW has handled their empty arena shows gets you excited and puts your mind at ease about how this pay-per-view is going to come off this weekend? Is this pay-per-view to you, when you look at the card, forget the crowd even for a second, when you look at this card, are you going to spend $50 to watch Double or Nothing? Let me hear it. You guys tell me. And I may record a little video tomorrow. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to see if maybe I can record a quick video with my predictions. I'm not doing predictions right now. I'm just going to run the card down. Best Friends against Private Party on the buy-in. That's the pre-show match. We've got Sean Spears against Dustin Rhodes. Casino ladder match for a shot at the AEW World title. It's going to be 9 participants. We know 8 of them so far. We know Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Scorpio Sky, Frankie Kazarian, Kip Sabian, Luchasaurus, and a mystery man. Who is the mystery man going to be? A lot of people on the market. A lot of people on the market. I ran down some of the names before. Might we see Rusev in AEW? Is it going to be somebody who's not from WWE? I like the fact that they have one mystery entrant. It keeps you guessing. But the risky run is that people are going to let their imaginations run wild. And if you send the fucking librarian out there, Peter Avalon, all due respect to Peter Avalon, you're going to have a lot of very disappointed people. MJF takes on Jungle Boy. Nyla Rose defends the AEW Women's Championship against Hikaru Shida. No disqualifications. The Elite, Kenny Omega, Matt Hardy, Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks take on the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. 5-on-5. The rules are very simple. There's going to be a ring at the 50-yard line in the middle of the stadium. It is falls count anywhere. So I guess the match starts there, and then at that point, it's pretty much it goes wherever it goes. But they're going to have this giant empty football field. So I hope they give these guys all the time in the world. I think that this is going to be the match that steals the show. This is the match I'm looking forward to the most, is the Stadium Stampede. Mike Tyson, who was backstage at last year's Double or Nothing, apparently he was there as a fan, had a great time. He loved the product. He's back for more, only this time he has an actual role on the show. He is going to be there to present the winner of the TNT title tournament finals with the new championship belt, which we still have not seen. We know the TNT logo is on there somewhere, but we haven't actually physically seen the new belt yet, so we don't know what it looks like. I hope it's not just a circle with TNT inside. I hope it's not that. It's got to be a little more creative than that, I would hope. Like, to me, you could have, like, the TNT logo side plates, but you got to have something nice to look at. In the middle. You gotta have that center medallion. I mean, that's really the whole championship right there. You gotta make it classy. You gotta do it up nice. I like the AEW World title. I like the tag team titles too. I think by and large their belts look pretty good. So I am as a belt fan, I have high hopes for this. But it's going to be Cody against the Murder Hawk, Monster, Lance Archer. They're teasing stuff with Mike Tyson. They're teasing stuff with Arn Anderson. They're teasing stuff with Jake Roberts. That, to me, feels more like the main event than the main event, which is Jon Moxley defending the AEW World title against Mr. Brody Lee of the Dark Order. And so that's the card. As it currently stands, that's your full Double or Nothing card. I don't think they're going to add anything else. I think the match they added really was Spears and Dustin. I don't really see the need to add anything else. What else could they add? It would just, at this point, it would just feel tacked on anyway. Let's take a look at the AEW poll. 862 votes. So far, 81% thumbs up, 18.6% thumbs down. That's a better score than it's gotten the last few weeks. That's actually an excellent score. It's an excellent score for AEW. And on the flip side, Let's take a look here. We've got NXT. See what you guys think. Oh, Jacob Donnelly, thank you. You're blocking my view, but thank you. The super chat is blocking my view. Come on. Will you be making a predictions video? As I just said, I'm going to try. I'm going to try to get one in tomorrow, so keep an eye out for that. There we go. NXT poll, 64.6% thumbs up, 35.4% thumbs down. Not even 600 votes. The trend continues. Lack of interest in NXT as compared to AEW. Although I must say the ratings for both shows have been down the last few weeks. It's okay, Jacob. It's all good, my friend. I forgive you. I forgive you for blocking my view. So don't forget, these polls are open for 48 hours. So if you want to chime in and leave some feedback for me on Twitter, there's the handle. You know the place to go. Hey, Chris Quillman, thank you for the 20, man. I appreciate that. Talking about Turtlehead here. Everyone loves Turtlehead. Balls of Steel Chicken. Andrew Sedge says, hold on a second. Balls of Steel Chicken says, your lighting background reminds me of tonight's Dynamite. Well, that's why I'm doing it. This is part of the Dynamite theme. I want you guys to feel like this is a Dynamite theme. That's why I have it that way. That's why I have it this way. Don't you like it? I was going to do pyro, but, you know, I don't think the fire code and everything, it wouldn't work in here. This place would burn down in 5 seconds if I had pyro. So I said the next best thing is I could at least do the lights like they do on Dynamite. So I hope you guys like it. It's all about the ambiance. Andrew, thank you. Eugene Morgan, Crazy Eyes. Crazy Eyes, Eugene Morgan, thank you for your support. And Jacob, who I just mentioned a little while ago, thank you, sir. Very much appreciate all of the help. I was thinking about this before, and I'm going to talk more about all this stuff, by the way, this weekend about Shad. There might be more information that comes out about Shad and his whole story, his whole situation, which, again, is just so sad. But also, I don't know, this whole week, it just feels like it's been nothing but just death and horrible news. Larry Zonka, 411mania.com. I'm going to talk a little bit about him this weekend as well. You know, but for those of you who don't know, Larry has been reviewing wrestling, my God, I mean, for just years and years and years. And I first heard of him, oh my God, it had to be early 2000s, mid 2000s. I don't even know when he started, but I would always enjoy his work when I read his work. He would review everything. He watched everything from WWE to AEW and Ring of Honor and New Japan. If you were looking for wrestling recaps and reviews online, you know, not just like the video stuff and the podcaster stuff, but Larry's stuff was all over the place. And he oversaw that whole section, the wrestling and MMA section on 411mania.com. You know, my brother has done work for the MMA section. You know, he's a writer part-time writer for the MMA section on 411mania and worked below Larry. You know, Larry was basically kind of like his boss. So, yeah, we knew Larry Zonka. I didn't know him personally, but, like, I knew of him and his work. And when I found out what happened, now, I knew he had health issues, and I know he had to have part of his leg amputated last year. Believe what happened is he had some kind of an accident, and then the leg got, I think, septic or got infected. Something happened, and he had to have the leg amputated. You know, this is a young guy. He's got a wife and a kid. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if it's something that was stemming from the leg injury or something else that led to what happened. But, you know, he passed away this week too. Then last night, I'm watching the Owen Hart episode of Dark Side of the Ring, and all those feelings come rushing back to me, and I couldn't keep it together. You know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. Does it make you any less of a person to admit that you bawled like a baby during parts of that episode? If you didn't, I would think you have no soul. How can you not? Now, somebody asked me, what's the bigger, like, the bigger tragedy in wrestling? And these comparisons, Benoit or Owen, and I hate doing stuff like that. It all is terrible. It's awful, terrible, nightmarish stuff. And I always say, you know, Benoit, three people lost their lives. With Owen, it was the one person. But to be honest with you, the story that still eats away at me probably more than any other one that still kind of haunts me as a fan to this day is the Owen story. To me, Owen is like the worst. Just the way it happened, and it's just awful. Absolutely awful. So, I don't know. I mean, between the Shad stuff and Larry and then the Owen stuff, I can't wait for this week to be over. This is awful. I hate even having to talk about this stuff, but, you know, you've got to. Yeah, Chris, I know some people still aren't getting the notifications. Try what I mentioned earlier and let me know if that works. Checking your notifications. And that goes for everybody who's listening right now. If you go and check, click that bell and let me know if your notifications are set to the all position. According to YouTube, it has to be in the all position or it may not work. YouTube is very finicky. It's very fickle. I want to make sure everybody is getting the alerts. So again, you guys in the chat can let me know. All right, let's move things along here and go to 702.
Hello?
Hey, 702.
Hey, how's it going? Am I coming through?
Coming through.
Awesome. Hey, how's it going, man? I just wanted to talk to you about, I guess, your stance on the whole doing wrestling during pandemic thing. I watch WrestleTalk sometimes, and they seem to be on the AEW should have the moral high ground road as far as, you know, not putting shows on and you know, just doing what they did as far as their bunker fill, which he said, I guess that connected to him more as far as how the show was laid out. But if you look at the ratings, people were losing interest and, you know, seeing something that kind of looked like an indie show. So I feel like personally they had to, you know, go back to Daily's Place or whatever and just make it look more grand, because the casual market is not. That's not the feel that's going to appeal to them, and that seems to be lost as far as in the heads of a wrestling fan, because you know they always want the more homely kind of feel. But anyways, my point was, you know, they really took, you know, the piss out of AEW for doing these shows during this time. But you got to forget. I mean, you can't forget that the fact that they're still an up and coming company. They're still you know, there's still a lot riding on it. They've basically been told they were going to be financially in the profit this year, and that's probably gone downhill. So it doesn't make much sense to, you know, say, well, hey, look, guys, you know.
Look. It's been already established. All of these sports, you know, there's no baseball, there's no football, there's no basketball. Now, we might get some of that stuff back soon. I know they're coming up with plans, and they might do NBA games at Disney World and all this stuff, which is fine. If they can come up with a safe way to do it. Some states are reopening. Look, if they feel they can do it, let them do it. And whatever's going to be is going to be. Because if everything kind of spikes again, then everything's just going to get shut down again. Wrestling, my whole thing from the beginning has been, what makes wrestling so special and so different from everybody else that they have to continue on when everybody else has shut down? And I didn't agree with it. AEW, I'll at least give them credit. They're doing it. I know they mention every week, you know, we're checking everybody's health. We're giving them tests. Now, the big difference, I think, between AEW and WWE, apparently WWE, to my knowledge, doesn't actually test. I think they take temperatures. They get, you know, they tell people you got to wear masks. AEW is actually giving tests to the talent and to the announcers. And Jim Ross tonight said, oh, we're all tested. Everybody's healthy. They must have those rapid tests, I guess. That's at least a better step than what I think WWE is doing. But I said from the beginning, should there be wrestling right now? If we're being honest, no, there shouldn't be wrestling right now. But, you know, in a selfish way, look, I'm grateful that we still have some stuff to watch and I have stuff that I can talk about here on the podcast and all that. And now we're kind of getting to a point where we'll see. You know, if some states are going to open up limited capacity, we'll see what happens. But the minute things start to spike, everything is going to get shut down all over again. So we'll have to.
I understand that. It's just the fact that, you know, they're still an up and coming company, and, you know, the NFL, the, you know, MLB and all that, they have the financial backing. I mean, the cons are, you know, billionaires, but if they look at it as far as money loss, they'll cut their ties before anything. But they don't have the wiggle room WWE has, and I believe they're doing the best they can with the circumstances. Like you said, they're testing. That's something WWE is not doing. They're just still doing, temperature tests. So I think they're doing what they can do within the reasonable bounds. I mean, it would be ethically smart to be like basketball, NBA, and all that stuff, and just stop. But at the same time, there's so much riding on that. And you know, if they have the out because the McMahon pact, the whatever they did to in Orlando to make sure, or Florida to make sure that wrestling is essential. I mean, at this point, your business is riding on it. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what they're doing right now. They feel that this is something that they want to do for people because they feel like, you know, people need something to be entertained by. And so they're doing what they feel they have to do. I mean, to me, I'm done even talking about though. I've said my piece on all this stuff. To me, it's old hat. We'll see as things go forward and as things start to reopen, if we can sort of get back to a situation where maybe in a few months, some people can be let in. But if not, look, this is the way things are going to be for a while, no matter what. So at some point, wrestling has to come back, and these guys, you know, are going to get back to doing what they do. It's just that wrestling feels like they can, you know, they kind of march to their own drummer. They kind of fall under the radar sometimes, which I think is why we've seen what we've seen. Anything else before I let you go?
No, that's all, man. I just
awesome.
Just felt like talking today, I guess. But thanks for taking my call, man. You have a good one, brother.
You too. Thank you for calling in. That call's from Vegas. As we move on to 502, is this Chris?
Hey, Mr. Marshall, what's up?
Hey, Chris, what's going on?
Oh, not much, not much. I just want to let you know again, you know, as well as I do, we do not claim Cornette, but last night, I got to admit, he was pretty damn good on that.
Well, he's always good. Look, Cornette.
Yeah,
I don't
agree
with everything he says, obviously. He says some really stupid shit, but, you know, as a talking head and as a historian, he's one of the best. I really enjoyed him on all these episodes because he's like the resident wrestling historian. You know, he knows all about that stuff. So I think, you know, his presence on this show has really enhanced the show a lot, and I can appreciate that and separate that from all the other stupid shit that comes out of his mouth sometimes, and not so stupid shit. You know, that's the thing that's frustrating. He says a lot of smart stuff, and then he'll turn around and say something that's just really, really out there and gets people really upset at him. But no, I've enjoyed him on the show. I think his role on the show, I hope it continues into season three.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's great on the show, too. Just last night, I thought he really, you know, kind of tugged at my heartstrings a little bit, I guess, you know?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, how often do you see the guy cry on TV?
Was just crying about Russo, you know.
Well, he probably. Well, I don't think he cries about Russo. I think he loses his mind about Russo. I don't think he cries about him.
Right, right. But no, I think. No, I was watching. I mean, I have a feeling the pay per view. They're kind of building up the pay per view, kind of safe. It seems like, you know, because of the circumstances. So I think that's kind of one. Kind of has that kind of, I don't know, underwhelming feel leading up to it, but I mean it's the circumstances, I believe, you know.
Yeah,
I still think that they'll blow it out. I don't want to say blow it out. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I think they'll do well with what they're given, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, but, I think the card on paper is solid. I'm not into every match, but I think the card on paper is pretty good. But the card looks a little bit different, obviously, than it would have looked had this whole situation not have happened. And if they were running Vegas at the MGM this weekend, you know, there would be a battle royal instead of a ladder match. They'd have the Lucha Bros together. I'm sure things would look, you know, they'd have Pac, who's stuck at home. So, yeah, things would look, and we would not be getting a stadium stampede. If they were in Vegas, I do wonder, because they were going to do Blood and Guts in March. So what would the match have been on this show? Would Jericho have a singles match? You know, would there be some kind of Elite versus Inner Circle? Because, I mean, if you do Blood and Guts 2 months ago, where do you go from there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, you can't.
Yeah, we'd have been at a completely different spot by now.
Right.
With that.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, I was. And I think them bringing Tyson in is a little bit of a, like, you know, it's kind of a draw. It's like, they, you know, I mean, it's a good draw, I think. But, you know, it's funny because I asked you, you know, if he thought that they would, if they would get like some kind of presenter or something. I don't think either one of us would have guessed Tyson at that time. I know I wouldn't.
No, I would have figured it would be a legend. You know, they had Bret Hart come out to introduce the world title. So for a TV title, I don't know. I mean, is there, let's see. I know Arn Anderson at one time was had a nice TV title run for himself. Was there another prolific television champion? Well, maybe like a Nikita Koloff or somebody. We've seen him pop up in on NWA Power. I would have just assumed it would have been some wrestling legend that they would have trotted out there. And instead, they got Mike Tyson, who I guess in a way is kind of a wrestling legend, right? He's in the Hall of Fame.
Now, I mean, he was in a pretty essential angle back in the day. So, I mean, WWE,
yeah,
so
kind of important. You know. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Just a tad.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So my question for you is, you know, since it kind of goes back to the whole Elite versus the Inner Circle with the Blood and Guts thing, since they weren't able to do the Blood and Guts, do you think that they've done, like, a pretty decent job of, like, you know, they seem like they're trying to keep that fire going, keeping the feud going with how they ended tonight and everything like that. You know, do you think that they're doing a pretty decent job of, like, keeping interest until they can finally do the Blood and Guts?
I think that's exactly what they're doing. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and you may not know, but maybe somebody in the chat will. I thought that they rescheduled the Newark show for July. Now, they may have to delay that again. July's not that far off, and New Jersey is still, I mean, New Jersey isn't much better off than New York at this point. They still have a ways to go. But I think they really want to, they're trying to hold off on that Blood and Guts match, I think, for Newark. So if they can do the Newark show in July, we may well get Blood and Guts in July. I just think it's a bit of a reach to think that Jersey will, A, be back open, and B, that they'll be able to get 12,000 people. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you know, again, it sucks because they had 12,000 tickets out for that show. And from what I understand, it was going to be like $1 million gate. It was going to be like one of the biggest events that they've done. I think they're waiting as long as they can. But the question is, how long can you wait? You going to wait a year? I mean, are you really going to, you're going to stall this feud for a year? I don't think you can do that. So I think they're waiting to see if
I mean, they're creative, but I don't think they're that creative, you know?
No, your creativity can only go so far. So I think they're waiting, but I think they may run out of time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I was really, you know, really curious about, because I, you know, as it was going off tonight, you know, it kind of dawned on me. I was like, I was entertained, you know, I thought it was kind of cool having, you know, the Inner Circle, I can't remember if it was the last show before last, where they're at the end, you know, and the football field with the,
well, don't forget they
the
killed,
name in the background.
They killed Vanguard 1 too, so they're
oh right, yeah,
a bunch of murderers.
Well, there's been a lot of
murdering
casualties,
bastards,
you know?
These guys are. So they're gonna get what they got coming to them on Saturday. These sons of bitches.
That's
killed
right.
Vanguard
that's right.
One.
That's right. Okay. All right. Well, you have a good night, Mr. Monster.
You too. Got me
all right, thank you.
Got me all riled up now. You reminded me about Vanguard 1 and what happened to him last week. He was disemboweled. He was destroyed at the hands of the Inner Circle last week. Oh, my goodness. Soggy Fries. Yeah, Soggy Fries is running down the horrible 2020 so far. Kobe. Forgot about Kobe Bryant. Kobe, COVID, Little Richard, Jerry Stiller, Fred Willard, Shad Gaspar, 2020 should be canceled. I agree. Can we just skip to 2021? I have a horrible feeling that 2021 might not be that much better than 2020. I'm trying to keep hope alive, though. Trying not to be too pessimistic about it. Let's go all the way to, is it my friend in Saudi Arabia?
Hello.
Hello. Is this the boss? No
way. Finally. After all these years, finally.
I know.
How you doing? It's the Saudi prince.
It is the Saudi prince. Now, I guess since I'm talking to the Saudi prince, what match are you requesting the WWE do at their next Saudi show?
That's Saudi prince.
Who are you asking for this time? Is it Yokozuna? Is it Diesel? Who is it that you want to see in this next big match? Who?
Oh, Sting.
Sting, you want Sting? I don't know if...
No. How you doing?
I thought you said you wanted Sting. I was going to say, here we go. Sting and the Undertaker at the next Saudi Arabia show. Here we go. I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh my God. I've been listening to your show since 2009, or 2008.
That's right around the time I started, 2007.
Oh boy. I think it's an episode or two episodes after the Michael Jackson episode, I think, 75?
Yep, so that would have been 77.
Oh, 77, oh, okay.
Yeah, which is almost... That was 75, but you said two episodes later, which would be 77, which still, 77...
Exactly.
77 does not equal the combined number of years of experience that Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson have, which is 83. I just wanted to point that out again, if people didn't hear me the first time.
No, you'll have to excuse me. It's about 6:22, I think, in the morning here in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been waiting for your show to...
So you haven't slept at all?
No, not at all.
Oh, my God. I hope you don't have any place to drive in the morning.
Oh, no. We're in quarantine here. So
oh, good. Okay.
So it's almost... I don't want to take too much of your time and too much of your calls. I know you're a busy man, but you mentioned something about the Dark Side of the Ring, the Owen Hart episode.
Mm-hmm.
As a longtime fan, did you see anything new in the episode?
Well, I mean, we got the family
new information or something.
Yeah. we got the family's person. Well, I mean, in terms of information, not really, because I've seen, and I'm going to talk a lot about this when I do my full review on Sunday, but like I've seen some of the court documents and, you know, the autopsy report and stuff. They didn't even get into that stuff. They only had like 44 minutes, I think, for the episode. What was new was
I don't think it's even enough.
No, it wasn't. They could have gotten 90 minutes or even 2 hours out of this. So they were really handicapped on time. But I think what was new was the fact that for the first time, this is really the first time that we've heard from Martha and her kids. So we didn't hear a lot from the daughter, but we got to hear from his son. And so we got a perspective from them that we've never gotten before. All we've heard are, we've heard about the lawsuits, and we've heard with Vince Russo and Jim Cornette and, you know, Jim Ross, all the usual, you know, Brett, but we've really not heard from the kids and the family at large. And some of the police photos they showed, you know, it was chilling. I mean, that photo from the catwalk looking down so you can see.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's awful. Like that was, it was chilling when they showed that. So that was new for me, but in terms of learning, you know, much in the way of new information, not really. I think it just sort of condensed it down for people. And I'll tell you the one thing it did do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and Martha's been making the rounds as far as, promoting the episode, and she's talked about the Hall of Fame and all that, but this was the first opportunity we had to hear from the kids about what they thought of wrestling. They obviously don't think very much of wrestling. They're not wrestling fans. I mean, why would they be, right? You know, killed their father. But Owen's son made that comment. He kind of backs his mother up that they're on the same wavelength, that he will never allow WWE to have the satisfaction of honoring his father with some phony Hall of Fame induction. And I will say, I've been over the years of the mindset, I see it on both ends. As a fan, it would be cool for Owen to be honored and get this big ceremony and you know, a DVD treatment or something like that. Having listened to the family, I totally get it. And I am 100% with them. If they don't want him in the Hall of Fame, then Owen Hart should not be going into the Hall of Fame. Because I would say this last thing. Here we are 21 years later. Even if this TV show didn't come out last night, right? People still talk about Owen Hart. This notion that he has to be in the Hall of Fame is bullshit. He doesn't have to be in the Hall of Fame. Owen's already in a Hall of Fame. Owen was inducted into the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame 2 years ago. People still talk about Owen Hart to this day. No one has forgotten Owen Hart. Him going into the WWE Hall of Fame will not change a single thing about whether or not Owen Hart is remembered a certain way. Owen Hart is remembered very fondly. And unfortunately, the way he died is always going to be the first thing people think of when they think of Owen Hart. Him going into the Hall of Fame means nothing. So my hope coming out of this is that people will stop, you know, harassing the family and making these awful comments that I've been seeing all day on social media. Still some stupid comments that people are making about Martha. Just disgusting, ridiculous shit that needs to stop, because he ain't going into the Hall of Fame. He doesn't need to go into the Hall of Fame, and he shouldn't go into the Hall of Fame. So I've said my piece.
It's exactly what you say every episode or any time it gets mentioned, that this Hall of Fame is just a fictional Hall of Fame, and it's more or less that WWE is just trying to get a quick buck, just like they did with the ECW thing and all the other things that they did before.
Well, yeah, and look, even if they said, look, oh, we'll put him in and all the money we make is going to go to the Owen Hart Foundation, like, let them make a donation to the Owen Hart Foundation regardless. Why does he have to go into the Hall of Fame for them to make a donation? That's up to them if they want to do that or not. It's not even an issue of that. It's just and I totally get it, the idea that this is the company that in her mind is responsible for the death of her husband. And his son looks at it as, this is the company that is responsible for the death of my father. I don't want them to have the satisfaction of putting on some kind of show and tell and promoting some kind of Hall of Fame ceremony around the fact that Owen Hart is being inducted. And, you know, we'd like to have the family come and accept. And if they don't, well, we'll put him in the Hall of Fame anyway. Look, Vince McMahon could put him in the Hall of Fame tomorrow if he wants to. I think it would be really stupid because it would open up a whole hornet's nest that they don't want to open. I mean, if we're being real technical about it, nothing is stopping them. But, you know, he's a big enough name. You're not going to quietly slip his name into the legacy wing of the Hall of Fame. He's either going in with a big induction or he's not going in. And it would be completely disrespectful for him to go in if his family feels, having now listened to them and gotten their perspective on it, it would be completely asinine for them to put him in there if his family is so dead set against it. You know, it was this stupid stunt that they wanted him to do. That's why he's not here anymore. So I get it. I completely understand. I completely understand where the family's coming from.
It's just like Martha says in the Dark Side of the Ring episode, where she says that it's not a money thing. It's more of a what do you call it? They're trying to indict.
Well, it's about getting justice. She said, yeah, it's like trying to just honor his legacy and just do well by, you know, his name. And again, I totally get it. Everything that the family was talking about last night, I am of the mindset now, you got to just respect the family. This is clearly something that they are dead set against. They want to have no part of it. The thing that I think people kind of misunderstand is this notion that, well, Owen's wife doesn't want to have anything at all to do with wrestling. She hates wrestling so much that it's like she just flipped a switch and just wants nothing to do with it. Meanwhile, you've got a picture of her posing with an award that she accepted on Owen's behalf 2 years ago for some other Hall of Fame. She was on with Chris Jericho the other day on a podcast, and Jericho brought up New Japan. And she's on the show mentioning names of people who were in charge at the time that she remembers from New Japan when Owen, you know, worked there. And Jericho sort of broached the idea and said, man, you know, I think New Japan would love to honor Owen. Owen, you know, was somebody who was respected over there. He worked for New Japan. And Martha was almost like she hadn't thought about it. And she was like, really? You know, that's an interesting idea. So I almost think that Jericho may have just opened the door. We'll see when this pandemic stuff is over. I mean, who knows when this is all going to be over. But he may have cracked that door open a little bit to her kind of giving her blessing and maybe even participating in some kind of a tribute to Owen in New Japan. So she's not against this stuff. What she's against is Vince McMahon and the company that, you know, in her mind was responsible for the death of her husband. I don't understand what's so hard for people to understand about this. You know, it's just like, this is how they feel. Leave it alone. The WWE Hall of Fame ain't that special. It ain't that important. It's certainly not worth, you know, throwing it in the woman's face. Just shut up and leave it alone. Not you.
Thanks a lot.
I'm not saying shut up to you. I love you. You know what I mean.
No, it's okay. You've been a weekly religious kind of religious thing that I have to do every week. So thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. I have to go to sleep at least. Yes. Get some shut eye at least. I'm going to work at 9 o'clock. So I don't know if I can get at least any kind of sleep. So thanks a lot for taking so much of your time, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and please get some sleep. Otherwise, I don't want you walking into walls and smashing your knee into doors like I did once upon a time. So make sure you get sleep. You don't walk around like a zombie. So there was our call from all the way over in Saudi Arabia from the Saudi Prince. Saudi Prince calling into this podcast. You heard it here first. He wants Sting at the next Saudi show. Sting against who? I wonder. Who would Sting wrestle at the next Saudi Arabia show? I wonder. Soggy Fries, the second Super Chat drop of the night. Thank you very much. Roman is a wank pheasant. One of our Super Chat graphics. Let's go to 618.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right. Hey, I'm calling from St. Louis, Missouri, man. First time caller. I just wanted to talk tonight about, you know, a lot of people have been calling about Brody Lee and everything and talking about how they're not feeling the whole Dark Order thing. And I agree with that. But I wanted to also say it's kind of weird. Now let me take this kind of approach to it. Isn't it kind of weird with the whole buildup? You know, you had Grayson and Uno out there forever building all this stuff up. Brody Lee, you know, comes on the scene, and you haven't seen Uno and Grayson since. You got him with all these jobbers. Now, where I'm going with this is this starting to be another Aces and Eights? I mean, this is, I don't understand. See, where I was hoping it was going to go with it, it was going to be like a kind of a power faction where you'd have, you know, Brody would, you know, kind of shoot for the heavyweight championship, and Uno and Grayson, you know, would shoot for the tag team championships. And as much as they built this up, you would have thought that, you know, that's kind of where they were going. And I get the whole pandemic thing or whatever, but it's kind of strange now.
Well, that's why they're not there.
Right. But they're out of the picture totally. And they haven't explained where they are. And think about all those weeks, the Exalted One, they introduced the Exalted One, and you haven't even seen those people together on TV. And the thing I think where it's, I think it's hurting a lot because, you know, it would have been built up better with them as a tag team shooting for the belts, and then Brody, you know, shooting for everything. And then now you got Brody with these, and who are these guys? You know, they're all the jabronis that come out and jump everybody and everything. And it's just confusing to me. What I'm trying to say is I hate for this to be another Aces and Eights where you got the whole faction is jobbing out and then, you know, one person's, you know, kind of getting over, I guess, or whatever. And
then Taz gets his cut. Remember the cut is the leather vest.
Right.
Yeah. But let's not go back to those days. Taz is working for AEW, so they could go down that road if they wanted to. I hope that they don't do that, though. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it as an Aces and Eights situation. I see it as more a faction that Brody Lee is the star. Who is the number two? Now,
well, that's
Uno and
right.
Uno and Grayson. I guess it would be Uno and Grayson. I guess, but I don't know. I mean, you gotta be somebody else. I mean, that to me, that's not enough. look at Uno and Grayson, like, the level they're at right now, they're not going higher than that. So, like, what's the end goal here? Is it just to give Brody Lee a faction of his own, or is there some kind of story that is building? Like, should he not bring in some other member that would be underneath him, who he can bully for a while, and then eventually they kind of break out on their own as an opponent for him, and somebody who can be a star in AEW?
Right.
They don't have that. So is that something they're going to do, or is he going to get beat by Moxley and then it's kind of just one and done? Because again, it just feels to me like they rushed him into this spot. Plans changed. Right. They had to come up with a plan B. He was plan B. And now what do you do? I don't think you take the championship off Moxley. I think that would be foolish. So what do you do?
I just think it's odd because, you know, like I said, on TV together, but that one time, and they were the ones that, you know, and don't forget, the Exalted One is coming and we are going to be more powerful than ever. You know, they built it up like it was going to be kind of like a power faction. And I think it's, where I'm going with this, I think it's, that's what's hurting the whole thing, is that, you know, you could have used the Exalted One on the scene to come on and kind of boost Uno and Grayson up, as, you know, I think did they start to win more matches? Because they're ranked pretty high. I thought they were ranked like number one before all this happened or something. So, you know, like I said, it was almost setting them up for the tag championships. And then, you know, Brody would have came on and he would have worked his way up as the, you know, a contender for the heavyweight title. So I think what I'm trying to say is, you know, Uno and Grayson getting some wins for that faction would have made everybody take it more serious. You know, you got everybody jobbing out since everything's happened, and yeah, Brody's the only one getting wins, and he hasn't got any substantial wins on anything. I just don't want it to turn into another Aces and Eights. I wanted Brody to succeed.
I want him to succeed too. I don't want another Aces and Eights, so we're on the same page there. But I disagree. I don't think, you know, look, Uno and Grayson could have kept winning all they want to. I mean, what is there to really get excited about? To me, they're not that big of a deal. You know, they're good wrestlers, but they're not that big of a deal. So, you know, even before Brody came in, and they were lacking that big leader. They didn't have that one big leader. They were teasing, maybe it'll be Christopher Daniels or somebody. Now they have their leader, and I'm hoping that Brody goes out there on Saturday, even if he loses, but he has this great match. We'll see. This is a big stage for him to be on, but I've never looked at the Dark Order, which they've been pushing them now for months and months, going back to last year.
Right.
I've never looked at them as being a big deal. They don't come across to me as any kind of a real threat. And they're supposed to be heels, so they're not meant to be liked. So you're supposed to be they're supposed to be feared. Well, who's fear in the Dark Order?
Well. And now take what you just said and think about it this way. If Brody loses Sunday, this faction's in big trouble.
I think the faction's in trouble as it is. Even before the pay-per-view, I mean, they're being pushed because of him, because he's going into the show. But I don't know. I mean, to me, he would have to win. But even if he won, would the Dark Order suddenly become a big deal or a big threat? I don't think so.
Well, take it this way also, and I'll leave you here. You know, I don't want to stay on all day, you know, but it's hopefully what will happen is, and you know, this go anywhere, but, you know, hopefully he, and I hate to say, a lot of people probably don't want him to win, but I think he has to win. He's only debuted in March. It's already going to be the end of May. And if you already kill him off in his first heavyweight title defense, nobody's going to take him serious. Hopefully Uno and Grayson pop back up on the scene and help him win, I guess, with their cronies and everybody, just kind of a fuck finish maybe or whatever. Just, I feel like he needs the win, and Uno and Grayson need to get built up, or they need to recruit somebody, like you said, like a young star to come in and be built up. And otherwise, I just fear it's just going to go down the road of the Aces and Eights, man, because it's just, you can't job out all this. You know, if you're building up a faction and you're coming in, you built it up that much. And I mean, think about all the weeks leading up to the Exalted Ones revealing. That was huge, huge, huge. And then here we are jobbing. It does have some Aces and Eights things to it. I don't know.
Well, you love saying Aces and Eights, I've noticed. Are you sure you're not an Aces and Eights fan?
No.
You've been mentioning them a lot. I've counted like 12 name drops.
It seems similar because everybody but Bully Ray dropped out in that faction, though, is where I'm drawing.
Because the faction was a joke.
You know?
The faction was an absolute joke. Bully Ray, the best thing that ever happened to Bully Ray was the career resurgence that he had in the Aces and Eights. So it benefited him. He got to work with Hulk Hogan. He got to date Hulk Hogan's daughter. You know, good for him. Who else did they have in the Aces and Eights? They had Mike Knox, right? Who else was in there? D'Lo Brown, Ken Kennedy, Taz, who didn't wrestle. But who else was in the Aces and Eights?
Who was the one, the Briscoe kid, you know? And then the Bischoff, you know?
Wes Briscoe. Oh, no wonder they failed. That entire faction, now you've reminded me of that whole TNA era. Now I'm all upset. You know, that whole faction was a joke. If they wanted people to take them seriously, they had to win matches. They kept losing. I don't understand these promoters when they think, oh, we want to get this new heel faction over. So I know what we'll do. We'll beat them every week. We'll just beat them like
a
drum.
That's what they're doing with the Dark Order right now. And that's why I hate that it's happening, because I don't want to see people be like, oh, Mr. McMahon was right about Cody Lee. I want to see this.
But
dude,
that's
you know.
The point. I don't even care. I can't even bring. I want Brody to do well, but I cannot bring myself to care. Look who you're talking about. You are literally talking about a faction of people called 8, 9, and 10. You are talking about a group of numbers. Yeah. You are not even talking about... These are faceless, masked people that have no personality or character of their own. So I ask you, who cares? That's the problem. But really, who cares? It's the Dark Order. Who cares?
Yeah. So, I mean, if he loses, do we do like a Nightmare Collective and just scrap the whole thing and repackage Brody? Was that good?
Yeah.
Because we got to save him somehow. He's a great talent, you know? We can't...
Save him. I mean, he's in the main event of the pay-per-view. I mean, he's in the best spot. He's in the best spot. You would think he's not being jobbed out. But, you know, if it were me, I cut bait on this whole thing. He loses on Saturday. And then next Wednesday, he comes out and he beats the shit out of 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whoever they have out there. He just beats them all up.
Right.
And just we start anew. It's this new, almost like Brody-esque version of Brody Lee, which is kind of what they're already doing. Well, they're kind of already doing that with Lance Archer. But, you know, you could do it with Brody Lee, just a big, tough guy who... You know, he's already cutting promos of his own, which is more than they ever had him doing in WWE. So he can talk.
Right.
We know he can talk. But yeah, cut bait on the Dark Order stuff. Just enough. It's not working for me.
Yeah. If he loses Saturday, I don't think we got to flush it down the toilet.
Works for me.
So it was a good idea, but you know, so thanks for taking my call, man. It's been a long time. I've been listening to the show for a long time and, you put out great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Call back again. I appreciate that. Boy, that's more people, these two people, as in he and I, have just talked more about the Dark Order than probably anybody else has talked about the Dark Order in months. Can't bring myself to care about the Dark Order. Brody Lee, now being brought in to lead the group, has not done much to up my interest in seeing the Dark Order. Some of their vignettes have been good. You know, I got a kick out of some of the, you know, the vignettes, join the Dark Order. But as a faction, I mean, what is there to take seriously about these guys? What is appealing about them that makes you want to see them on TV, that makes you want to root against them? Hey, Dynamite tonight, we're going to have the Dark Order in the main event. Woo! I can't wait to see the Dark Order. Who cares? Who gives a fuck? I'm just being honest. This is just how I feel. Am I alone? Does everybody care about the Dark Order? I'm the only one. Please tell me. 202.
What's up, Solomon Monster? This is Garrett from DC.
Hey, Garrett.
And I'm just happy to say that I still do not care about the Dark Order. It's been 1 year and I still don't care.
I am a non-believer.
Yep. But just to let you go back to the ladder match stiffs, since everyone's like on 90-day no compete from all the people that got fired, the only person that would be from WWE would be Drew Gulak, or Gamagule, as Enzo would call him. So that would be my pick for the mystery opponent, that and or Brian Cage, if he's healthy enough to come back. So that's probably my two picks for the ninth entrant for the ladder match.
So what you're telling me is that you don't think the ninth entrant might be Mike Chioda?
No, I think number nine is going to be number nine from the Dark Order.
I see. Well, then I truly won't care about that match if that's the case. I have to say, somebody in the chat, was it Khalid? I forgot who it was. Brought up an interesting point that I hadn't thought about in terms of these cut WWE stars. We were just talking about Brody Lee. You know, they did get rid of Rowan. So I guess the question is, I don't know that I support this idea, because to me, that's too much going back to the WWE well. But what if they brought in Rowan and he joined the Dark Order? And maybe he's kind of that second guy in the faction. They bring him in and, you know, I don't see Brody winning the championship, but I don't know, to put Harper and Rowan back together just in a different company, I don't know. But that,
I don't think Brody really would like that idea either, because he was, at that point, he went to the Jericho's podcast to talk about he was fed up being just a tag team wrestler at that point.
He's trying to branch out and do his own thing, and, you know, whether it's the Dark Order or they just end it and have him do something else, I don't know. You put Rowan with him and connect them in some way or feud them, and it's almost like he's right back to where he was before. So, yeah, I don't like that idea either.
But just like to get back to the since we're, you know, talking about like season three for Dark Side of the Ring, I would like to see more of them doing like a international flavor, since it's been focused more or less on the States. I mean, they could still do like the Brian Pillman story. They could talk about the Steroid Child, but I don't know who you're going to let them talk to, because the key figures, they won't probably talk to Vice for about that issue. But for like other stories, I think, you know, Nokiism, that would be a top pick. The Life and Death of Misawa, which is also another heartbreak to look back on. So I think those are other stories that deserve to be
But you got to remember something. And I agree that some of those are good ideas, but this is a television show. And it's an American television show. And you look at some of the subjects they picked this year. And the Owen Hart episode, by the way, on Vice, did the biggest audience for any Dark Side of the Ring episode yet, even the Benoit. So Owen, you know, that story was obviously a big story. The Benoit story was a big story. And then they covered some of the smaller names, Dino Bravo and David Schultz. You know, a lot of casual fans probably have no idea who those people are. Are people like Misawa, I mean, are they going to be a draw? I mean, at the end of the day, it's a television show. Are those names going to draw in viewers? Is Vice going to go, you know what, let's do an episode on Mitsuharu Misawa? I don't know that I see that happening. I think you could absolutely do an episode on the Vince Steroid Trial. You could do an episode on the Ring Boy scandals and the sex scandals of the early 90s. I think Brian Pillman would make for a good subject. China is one of those figures that I think even non-wrestling fans have probably heard of. She's got a sad story. You can do the story of Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch. You can do, I mean, there's any number of stories without kind of branching out into Japanese legends and Mexican legends that they can get to first. Adrian Adonis. There's a lot of ideas that they can go with.
Yeah, as well as like my opinion. I mean, I got teary eyed seeing Jim Cornette's reaction from Owen Hart documentary. Mm-hmm. The only downside I thought of it was, you know, it was short. You know, I wish they had like another 30 minutes to go into some of the trial stuff. And
yeah, I'm gonna get into a lot of that myself when I do the review on Sunday, because there was a lot that they didn't get to, and things aren't always as they seem. Not everything is cut and dry. There are two sides to everything. There were a lot of people interviewed at the time, you know, by police and stuff. So there was a lot that they didn't get to. And so I'll talk more about that on Sunday.
Yeah, I was more or less disappointed the fact we didn't get to see Bret Hart and or, you know, Bruce Pritchard. Well, you know, I would like to see.
Well, they asked Bret. They wanted Bret, and I guess Bret blew him off. I guess Bret didn't respond.
Okay, then I thought it was odd the fact that he didn't want to, like, discuss the stuff himself, because, you know, hearing his story, how he got that from being in public air, was in an airplane as he heard the news, which also would have been a hard story. But another thing about it was shocking to see how many people were shocked about the Kevin Dunn situation. I mean, Jim Ross talked about that story for, like, even in WWE's documentaries, he talked about how Kevin Dunn counted him down after Owen Hart's news broke. So
yeah, and
to see people calling for Kevin.
And I'm hardly the biggest Kevin Dunn defender, but I do believe that and it might have been on his own podcast at one point, that Jim Ross has said that Kevin Dunn was of the impression that Jim Ross knew. He didn't know that Jim Ross didn't know. And so I guess, you know, when he talked in his headset, he said whatever he said, and then he found, and then Jim Ross said, well, I have no idea what's the news. I don't have the update. And so supposedly Kevin Dunn didn't know, but he's still a weaselly, squirrely little creature. So let that not change. Nothing changes the fact that Kevin Dunn is still a deplorable creature. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but other than that, I did think that documentary is good. I think like season two was definitely stronger than season one with some of the source material they talked about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, it's going to probably be another while since we see another Dark Side of the Ring documentary, since, you know, everyone's going to be in, you know, pandemic or just going to be in quarantine for most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that probably down the road, they will be doing a subject in Dark Side of the Ring about the quarantine stuff and how wrestling continues to go through it. But yeah, also I wanted to point out that I found out that this is the 9th anniversary of Randy Savage's death. So that's another sad point to bring up this week as well. That's also the 9th anniversary of him having the heart attack in the middle of the road.
That's right.
So wrestling never, I mean, there's some great stories, but you know, it's a lot of, you know, tragic stuff that's happened. So other than that, I just hope that everyone just, hopefully we get through this year and hopefully we'll, you know, weather the storm of the coronavirus and all that other stuff. And hopefully we'll go back to the way things are, because if there was any company that was mostly affected by this, I would think Dynamite had like a lot of momentum going back to January from like having all these good shows.
Oh,
and
Dynamite.
Then later the virus just like,
yeah, Dynamite Kid.
He could be Dynamite.
No, I'm saying Dynamite Kid. He could be another Dark Side subject.
Yeah, actually, as well as like the British Bulldog, probably be another one to go through, or actually Kurt Hennig would be one since Curtis Axel got fired, so they can probably reach out to him about that stuff.
The WWE booking team, the WWE creative team, 2017 to 2020. That could be Dark Side of the Ring season 5 material. We could talk all day long about this. Anything else?
Yeah, well, not really. I just let everyone know, be safe, you know. I've mostly been playing video games all day, so I'm pretty sure my brain's been rot as of late. So hopefully, you know, I'm not going to watch Double or Nothing, unfortunately. I'm trying to save as much money as I can at this point. I've just been spending money mostly on food. And, you know, if down the road, if I, you know, been able to get back to work, I'll probably buy the pay-per-view later on just show my support for the show. But
well, you don't have to worry about any of that. All you got to do is come back here to the channel on Saturday night, and I'll be recapping the whole show for you for free.
Yeah, I know, but it's important to show support for the show regardless. So if I have the money, yeah, I will support, but I will hopefully call back.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, have a good night. So that was Garrett. That was Garrett in our nation's capital. Dry chicken without flavor, thank you. He yelled touchdown when Hangman Page tackled Jake Hager. That's, that's actually a good point. I tell you, he was sprinting down that field, and he was not wearing tights. He was not in a uniform. I guess that kind of is his uniform, though, right? Jeans and cowboy boots. Turtlehead, $1.99. They had Randy Savage and Elizabeth already on Dark Side. That was season one. So if you missed that episode, go and find it. It's probably floating around. Actually, you can get it on the Vice website. If you log in with the credentials for your cable provider, you should be able to watch it right off their website if you don't find it on YouTube somewhere. So, let's see here. Let me play catch up as we wrap up. It's the white man dance. 651.
What's up, Foul Monster? It's Brandon from Florida.
Hey, Brandon from Florida. What's going on?
Nothing much. Quick shout out to Quillman and Turtlehead. We are the Essentials, and we're going to come for all the jockasses out there.
There we go. Jockass. Got to say it the way he said it. Jockass. I want to see that make a comeback.
From a few callers ago, when they were talking about the Dark Order earlier, I was thinking, like, I don't even care about the faction either, but, like, what if they had Matt Cross, a.k.a. Son of Havoc? Would that help them become a little more legit?
No.
No, yeah.
He's a great wrestler. But what is he? I mean, when you talk about him helping make them more legit, or being a draw and drumming up interest, I don't see it. I mean, he would be a nice addition to the roster, but I don't see him making any kind of an impact in that way.
Yeah. And then just quick second question. So like from any time you've had your anniversaries and you talk about like the early days of the Solid Monster, how did like people know you had like your first few episodes? Like how did they find out about it?
Well, the way they found out about it was when I first started the show in 2007. Really, the whole reason it came about was an idea that I pitched to the webmaster for SEScoops.com, which is, you know, one of the bigger wrestling news websites, even today, you know, that's out there. And so I started doing a show that was for the website. It was promoted by the website. So really from day one, I had a little bit of a built-in audience. You know, not everybody who visited the site was listening to the podcast, but that kind of got my foot in the door. And then from there, it's just, you got to have a good show. You know, if you don't have a good show, no one's going to want to listen to it. If you have a YouTube show that's shit, no one's going to want to watch it. And people ask me all the time, "What? Yeah, I'm going to start a podcast." Okay, so start a podcast. And I give them tips and advice of what I did, and here's what I think you should do, and good luck. And look, you know, if you're going to be one of these people that, "Oh, I want to do a podcast because everybody else is doing one," or, "Oh, I want to do a podcast because I want to make money," then it's going to fail. It's plain and simple. That's not why you start doing a podcast. You have to want to do it. You have to put the time commitment into it. You have to have halfway decent equipment. If you're not willing to put some money into it or put some effort and time into it and prepare, you're going to fall flat on your face. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. But it takes time. It took me years to really build this show up to a point where when I broke away from SE Scoops, it was 2013. It was the summer of 2013, and we went our separate ways, and I didn't know what to expect. I said, "Well, there's no more SE Scoops audience. I don't know what's going to be." And look what ended up happening. The audience grew and grew and grew. And shout out to TV Tracks, wherever he may be. He's taking an extended break. He was a big fan of the show and, you know, asked me about, you know, kind of partnering up to run clips on his channel. And I said, sure. And that helped immensely. I mean, there's so many people who listen to me to this day who said, "I first started because I saw your content on TV Tracks." So yeah, there's a little bit of luck involved there, but that's how it all started, you know, and that kind of gave me the little push that I needed. And then you just got to put the work in, man. That's all you got to do. I tell everybody, this is not something that you could just wake up one day and say, "I don't think I'm going to do a show this week. I'm not feeling it. I'll do it again next week." Well, then you're not going to have a show. You got to be consistent. Put a good product out there. If you are having fun and you enjoy doing it, you enjoy talking about wrestling, if you have a voice for it, then you'll do well. Any idiot can start a podcast. Look at me. look at this idiot, you know? Anybody can start a podcast, but it's keeping it up, right? It's the upkeep. It's the commitment to it. So anyway, I didn't mean to go all Professor Solomonster on everybody, but that's my two cents. All right, we're nearing the end here. So why don't we go to WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut.
How do you know?
I know everything. I'm like the SmackDown hacker. I could be the SmackDown hacker. I've got my GPS coordinates all over the place. I know exactly where everybody is calling in from.
Yeah, I'm actually an ex-exec, but next to 9 in WWE over there.
But my coordinates tell me that you're calling from the Money in the Bank conference room on the 6th floor of Titan Tower.
man, you guys got me laughing about everything. Especially the Dark Order topic.
Yes, the Dark Order. So what's going on?
Nothing much. I mean, sad news about Shaq Gaspar. Condolences to the family and JTT and everything going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I saw the screenshot that JTT shared it about what Shaq said about if I die tomorrow, just to let you know, I love you, bro, you know? I guess that was the message back in January. Remember when the day Kobe passed away? That's what the...
Oh, is that what that was? Okay.
Yeah, when Kobe Bryant passed away from the helicopter accident, that's probably what the message is. That's what I did the same thing with when I was at work on Sunday, and I said to my coworkers, because we were like close, like family, I said the same thing. If I die tomorrow, you know, just let you know, I love you, because, you know, life is too short.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And that's actually a very true, accurate statement.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he died a hero, man, for saving his son, and he put his son before himself. And I was talking to my crew earlier, including one of my best friends, that we're both fathers. I have a little girl, and he has a son. You know, he has a daughter that's adopted. So we talk about, like, you know, hey, you know, we'll put ourselves for our kids too. You know, that's what it was, you know, for our love, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's one of those things where I don't have a kid, but if you're a parent, you know, I'm sure it's got to just, you know, rip your guts out to hear a story like that, because it's probably every parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah. So looking forward for Saturday. So I'm guessing the main event is going to be the stadium stampede. So it's not going to be the heavyweight title. So that's definitely, I'm thinking that's going to be the main event.
We'll see. I mean, I don't care what order it goes on in. For me, that's my main event on Saturday. That's the match I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me too. Like, definitely looking forward the ladder. And the TNT championship, the finals.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Any specific questions coming out of the show here before we move things along?
All right. So what's your top on the second season of the Dark Side of the Ring? What's your top episodes that you enjoyed? Which was the best interest or which is the most?
Well, I mean, it's funny to use the word enjoy, just because some of these stories are so awful. I mean, the Owen episode is the one that ripped me up the most. Benoit's pretty much right up there with it or just behind it. Because they both take you back to a time that I think all of us can remember probably, right? What we were doing or where we were when it happened or we got the news. So those are the worst in terms of how emotional they were. The one that I enjoyed the most, honestly, it might have been David Schultz. I might have been the David, and that was just like it was a slap. And I even thought to myself, I go, how are they going to get an hour out of this? And then I went and I did my review, and I got like 55 minutes out of it. So believe me, you could always, it's like blood from a stone. You could always draw something out of nothing. I don't know. I enjoyed that one just because of the personalities involved. And Dino Bravo, I'm glad that he got coverage as well, because he's a name that doesn't get talked about a whole lot. I enjoyed the season on the whole. Now, there were some episodes that I learned certain things that I didn't know going in. The Owen one, not so much. But I mean, look, on the whole, I thought it was a very strong season. And it's already been renewed. Vice is already bringing it back. It's their best series. It's their best drawing series of any kind. So it's coming back for a season 3 and probably a season 4. Unless the numbers totally collapse next season. So that's my thoughts on Dark Side of the Ring. And let's go to the Great White North of Canada.
Hi, I just have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
With this whole pandemic thing going on, do you think at some point WWE is going to maybe allow AEW to run an event, an episode of Dynamite in the Performance Center, maybe for some WWE versus AEW, where we see Baron Corbin versus Orange Cassidy or Darby Allin versus Aleister Black? Mm. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think I would say, I know you're up north, and I don't know how the weed is up there. Now I do. Apparently it's very strong. No, there's, put it this way. There's a better chance that WWE will extend an invitation for me to come do a live sound off at the Performance Center. Like, they'll let me set up my own little studio in the ring, And I could just go off on them for any number of things I go off on them for. They'll roll out the red carpet for me. Maybe they'll give me Baron Corbin for an interview. There's a better chance of that happening. It's, you know, come on, man. Come on. Come on now. 702.
Hey, what's up, Solo Moss? How you been doing tonight, man?
I'm all right.
Well, I just want to have a few quick things. I watched AEW Dynamite tonight. The two things that stood out for me pretty much has nothing to do with what's going on or what's going to happen at Double or Nothing. The two things that stood out to me was just the brutal spot involving Rey Fénix. It's just those types of things. I know accidents happen in the ring, in and out of the ring, but those guys have to have the presence of mind just to somehow, some way be underneath him when he's falling to the ground. I mean, I know you know all about, you know, you call matches before and you've been watching wrestling for a long time. So I'm not preaching to the choir or anything, though, but it's just, you gotta be there. That really got me. Hopefully he's fine. I don't know what the extent of that is. Hopefully he's fine. But another thing that stood out to me that was just really brutal, I don't know who called that spot. I'll never find out who called this spot in the women's tag match with the Nyla Rose being thrown into Britt Baker. Hopefully her knee is fine. That was just really unfortunate. I don't know, to the extent of that potential injury or not. I don't know if she's going to be available for Saturday. Hopefully just a bruise. I don't know. That looked really ugly. I'm not trying to be negative on AEW. I never openly root against any wrestling company. That's not in my nature. That's the dumbest thing to do. This whole back and forth between, NXT and AEW, just really childish nonsense, though. But the thing for me is that they still have a long, 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 long way to go. And I want them to succeed. But it's just a lot of different little things and some big things that they just really have to get it together. And I know they've been on television for what, since October?
What?
Oh, just the small things and the big things? Well, the smaller things, they just...
Well, just give me... The referee spots
definitely is one big thing that they really just got to clean that up. I'm pretty sure that's been mentioned plenty of times before on your show and other people's shows. And the big things for me, they have a lot of green workers. That's not their fault. WWE has snatched up a lot of great talent over the years. And if people want to say unfairly so, true, but if you're the big dog and you have all that money, then of course you're going to do that to starve out the competition. But, it's just those two things specifically. They just got to get better in-ring all the way around. And, I'm still rooting for them, but it's just sometimes it's just hard to watch.
Well, look, you could say that about any wrestling company. I mean, WWE, AEW, TNA, they have their ups, they have their downs. I think now we are a year in from their first pay-per-view, right? Double or Nothing was their first big show last year. And I think in that year, there's more pros. There's cons. There's definitely cons. Their women's division, is still on the weak side. The referee stuff, I think you mentioned. I'm sure there's a few other things that aren't coming to my mind right now. They're not perfect, but I think there's definitely more pros than cons. And I think the wrestling business is a lot better off. I know some of the wrestlers, in terms of their paychecks, when their contracts come due, they're a lot better off for their being in AEW than if there was no AEW at all.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm very, happy for the men and women who are in that profession to have those other opportunities and to have careers at other places. I love that. I mean, I'll never root against that. It's just, when new things come around and, they tell you one thing and they try to go about it the way they told you about it at the beginning, and some stuff just falls by the wayside just a tad bit, and they try to pick it up or they try to get the ball rolling again, which most of it isn't their fault. But, it just sometimes we can be or I can be impatient as a fan. A lot of fandoms can be to a certain extent.
Absolutely.
But, it just – it's just one of those things where it's like you want them to be consistent, and you know they're still in their infancy. I understand that, but it's also tough. You know, I'm in my early 30s, and I've been watching pro wrestling since I was 5-6 years old. And which is weird is that I began watching during the Monday Night War era. You know, with WCW first and foremost before anything else. And to see all of that and to go back to see what once was till now and to see, and not just them, but it's also WWE as well, even though they've consistently, they're fine in ring and whatnot. It's just when you see the drop off from the high of the highs down almost to the low of the lows, it's just somewhat frustrating, disappointing. You get it. I mean, I'm not saying anything profound. I'm not saying anything new. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you just want consistency throughout those two major promotions. And, you know, but I don't want to take all your time. I know you got to get the hell off here. But thank you for taking my call. And you take it easy, Solo Monster.
You too, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, I got to say also, I have to stop peering over to look at to look at the chat because sometimes it gets me. Like there'll always be that one comment in the chat that'll just get me. So, you guys, I love it. I love the chat. I love all my peeps in the chat. You guys keep it entertaining for me. So, I love it. Oh God, try. I wish I knew who made that comment. There was a comment in there that just killed me. I meant to get the person's name and I just couldn't. I wish I knew who it was. Oh. I wish I knew who it was. Oh, I love you guys. Oh, send for the man. Send for the man. Oh. I think I'm losing my mind. Oh. I gotta compose myself. All right. Oh, I'm crying. You guys got me crying here. You know that? Oh, damn it. I already cried last night during the Owen during the Owen Hart thing, and now you got me crying for a different reason. All right. I'm back. I'm good. Dry chicken without flavor. Any quick takes on the 97 Bulls, the Last Dance documentary? I haven't seen it. My brother has watched all the parts. I haven't seen it yet. Dry Chicken, thank you again for the support. Here's the AEW poll. I want to just flash the polls. You guys know at the end. Oh, you guys know I love to put the polls up. There it is. AEW Dynamite. 80.2% thumbs up. 19.8% down. There's the NXT poll. 700 votes, 64.8 up, 35.2 down. Oh, I needed this laugh after this week. Oh, you guys put a smile on my face. Yeah, they say WWE is the company that puts smile on people's faces. I think you guys in the chat, you put smiles on people's faces. Oh, this will put a smile on my face. You guys buy a shirt from the store. There's a PWT sale. Pro Wrestling Tees kicks off tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern. Use the code Memorial at checkout. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/Solomonster. Sounds off. And you can get a shirt 20% off everything in the Sound Off store. So if you care to do so, you may go ahead and do so. So there you go. That's the sale that starts tomorrow. If you guys missed it, my episode 2, chapter 2 review of the Undertaker Last Ride series, it's up on YouTube, premiered yesterday. And you guys can go check that out. Almost an hour long to recap episode 2, which I'm loving this series so far. I really do. I cannot say enough good things about this Undertaker series. In all honesty, this is one of the best produced series of its kind, really, that WWE, I feel, has ever done. So, there you go. Should I dare to take one last call here before we move on? Why not? I'm feeling bold here tonight. Let us go to 213. You're on the air.
What's up, Monster?
Oh, Luis! My man, Luis, how are you doing, sir?
I'm tired of this virus.
Well, I think you and the rest of the world, I think we're all pretty tired of this, of Cyrus the virus right now. I hope you are keeping safe out there in California.
I am. I'm just not going outside.
Good. Good. You should stay inside and watch all my streams and watch all my shows.
Oh, I do.
Good. Okay. Now, is there any question that you have? Any comment here tonight before we end the stream?
Well, man, it really dusts up to find out that Chad went out this way by just killing him.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Yeah, we've talked a lot about that tonight. Is there? Let's talk about something a little more, not as dire. Is there any? Did you watch Dynamite tonight?
Neither have I watched NXT. I'm just like not in the mood.
Okay, so you did not watch Dynamite tonight.
I did not watch Dynamite. I did not watch NXT. Did not watch Eric Garcetti's press conference. I didn't watch Dr. Barbara Ferrer's press conference. Fuck them.
Wait, say that. I didn't hear that. What press conference? What press conference for who?
For Los Angeles.
Oh. Okay. Well, yeah, I didn't watch it either because I live in New York.
You can watch it through KTLA's YouTube channel.
Well, I'll get right on that. No, I'm not going to do that. I mean, so you didn't watch any wrestling, but you don't have anything to offer here, Luis, before we... This is going to be the big final call here.
I do have a question. What would the Staples Center look like if WWE were to run at least one show without an audience?
Empty.
Are you sure?
So, we're talking about running a show with no audience. I'm pretty sure it would look empty.
Ow.
All right, Luis, this has been very enlightening. I am so happy that you made your way through. You've got a lot of fans in the chat. I got to say, you might have more fans in there than me.
Of course, I'm like reading it right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I gotta go. I'll probably call in next week or the following week.
Okay, I'll be here. So hopefully you'll call back in. All right.
All right. Good night.
All right. Have a good night, Luis. One of a kind. I don't know what to say, but there he is, Luis. He is a man of mystery. He's in our Facebook group. He's on Twitter. I see him sometimes pop up on other streams, commenting. He's everywhere. This guy is everywhere. He's over. I think Luis is more over than most people on the WWE roster right now. How does this happen? I don't know. But when you hear that voice, you know who it is. I can't top that. There's no possible way I could top that. So on that note, I'm going to wrap up here. I hope you guys have been entertained by the stream. I hope, even though we did talk a lot about Shad and the sad stuff, that hopefully I was able to help take your mind off things. You guys helped take my mind off things. I don't know what the hell happened to me before, but that's never happened to me. In all the times I've ever done live shows, tape shows, any kind of show, I've never lost it the way that I lost it a little while ago. I completely lost it. So anyway, I should thank you. Thank you for the entertaining stream tonight. I hope you will join me. I will be back here live on Saturday night, whenever the pay-per-view ends. I don't know if it's going to be midnight, 11 o'clock. Hopefully it's not midnight. After Double or Nothing, join me back here for the recap. And then right back here, we'll do it all over again next Wednesday after Dynamite. I will see you back here live on the YouTube channel. So, we got more Super Chats coming in. I should probably get to these. Holy cow. I almost missed these. Jackalope Music. Thank you. Jackalope, thank you, by the way. The AEW, well, you know. Thank you. I appreciate that from a few weeks ago. Jared Jackson. What were you laughing at? I don't know. I don't even remember now. It's like I blacked out. And Dry Chicken Without Flavor, thank you for the $2. I'm going to enjoy whiskey during Double or Nothing. You know what? I'm going to do that too. I think that sounds like a great idea, and it might even make the review after the show that much more entertaining. So I'm going to go. I'm going to get the hell out of here right now since it's getting late. Have yourselves a good night. Be well. Stay safe. If you're a father, if you're a parent, hug your kids. Not to get all sappy on you, but this has been a rough week of news. And let us not forget, again, I closed the stream the same way that I opened the stream. A lot of talk about people, heroes, and this and that. Sometimes people make light of it, but we got firsthand a view this week into what a real hero looks like. And his name is Shad Gaspard. And I think that's an important point to make. And he will be missed. So rest in peace to Shad Gaspard. Have a good night, guys.